Welcome to New Beginnings. I'm so glad you're here. We've already had a blast. We've had a great time, and I love you, and I enjoy you so much, and we just celebrate the Lord and His goodness, don't we? Let's just give the Lord a shout. Tell the Lord you love Him. Hallelujah. We love the Lord. We praise the living God. Amen. All right. We're doing a series right now on His finished works, and our part is to enjoy His rest. And that may not make sense to you right now, but if you capture these sermons, and, you know, this is the type of truth that you need to listen to over and over again. That's why a podcast is important, and that's why the CDs or however you listen to them. But if you just try to take a glimpse of this, you may miss a very important part that have a make a difference in your life. And we're all about making a difference. Okay, and we want you to receive all that the Lord has for you. And this is talking about the ways of God. It's opposite than the ways of the world. And so it doesn't make sense to our human mind. That's why that we have to renew our mind with this truth. And we have to soak it up, okay, and practice. It's good for us to hear and to study and to meditate on it. Take notes. Take those notes that you've got. Make notes and listen to it over and over again. Just a little touch on where we've been. Genesis 6:8 says this, that Noah found grace, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I think I shared this with you, but Noah means rest. Noah means rest. That's what his name means. You look it up in the language, it means rest. Okay, and so you read the meaning of his name, and I'll tell you, it's very interesting in the Bible, the meaning of names. It's amazing about numbers, but I'm telling you, I love to see what the names mean. They speak. There's message in them. And Noah means rest. And so listen to this, because this has effect on our message. Rest finds favor. Noah found grace. Rest finds favor. Rest finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 9, it talks about Noah, and this is out of rest, out of favor, out of grace, out of rest, he habitually fellowshiped with God. That's what verse 9 says. In other words, he didn't just worship the Lord every now and then. He had a walk with God, much like his granddad. I say granddad. Was it great-granddad? Enoch was a great-granddad. His forefather, Enoch, walked with God. And the Bible says he walked in a daily fellowship with God and actually gives the testimony in Scripture that he was walking with God and he was not. God took him. And I'm not saying that his body fell down. And No. We're talking about he disappeared. God took him. And I want to tell you, all kind of sweet, precious love life takes place when you walk with God. And he wants you to walk habitually with God. And here's Noah, the great-great-grandson or something like that, walking with the Lord, okay? So he had godly heritage. But I want to tell you, that's all he had. I'm going to share with you in just a second. And the very fact is this, is that if Enoch walked with God, if Noah walked habitual fellowship with God, rest finds grace, finds favor with the Lord. Rest, favor with the Lord, habitual fellowship with God. We can too. Okay? We can too. We have the advantage because the Spirit of the living Christ dwells in us. We have advantage. And it's possible for all of us. But he was in the place of rest. And rest means the place of believing. The place of believing. And he believed and received from the Lord. And he obeyed what God said. He said what God said because he preached to his generation. Now what's interesting is that Jude talks about that his forefather, Enoch, preached to his generation too. And so I want to tell you, that's some great godly heritage there. He fell out, followed after his heritage on that. But listen to what Hebrews says. Hebrews 11:7 says, prompted by faith. Now we know that he was rest. And he received grace, and the place of rest is the place of believing. And look how faith affect Noah. By faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which it was as yet there was no visible sign, Does that sound familiar? See, we teach and are talking about that we come to the place of rest where that we're not seeing in the visible yet, but it's in the invisible. But this is how the invisible becomes visible. It's by faith, by being in his rest, by believing, all right, by receiving through faith. And so there was no visible sign. He took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. I want to tell you, God provides a way of salvation. Do you see the word ark? Say salvation. Yeah, I want y'all to say it. Ark means salvation. Okay, and for the deliverance. And that's what God has done through his son Jesus and the cross. I'm telling you, what a beautiful picture. I could preach a long time on that, but I won't. But by this, his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief. In other words, he was exposing unbelief. He was calling on people to believe and became an heir and a possessor of righteousness. Do you see that? Now, I want to tell you, that's what Jesus has done for us. We receive the gift of righteousness through Jesus. And I want to tell you, even though our report card doesn't look like it, the Bible says that Jesus has given us the gift of his righteousness. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect, but I want to tell you, his righteousness dwells in us. And that is very, very powerful for you to know and to accept and to believe. So Noah became an heir of righteousness of God by faith, not by his works. His works were simply an expression of him believing God. He heard God, he believed God, he did what God said. That's the way it is with us. We don't work to receive. We work because we do the works of God because we do believe. Wow. So Noah became an heir of righteousness of God by faith. His heart was toward God. He had humbled himself before the Lord. And his life response was, your way, Lord, I surrender to you. That's what rest is. Rest. Let's all say rest. Because God's got a rest for us. It's not by our works, it's by his works. It's the place of believing. He received grace. He received favor. He enjoyed the rest. He fellowshipped with God. Doesn't that sound familiar, what we talked about Adam and Eve? Fellowshipping with God in the garden, the finished work. I'm telling you, it's a pattern, it's a picture. He wants us to see it, he wants us to receive it. Noah walked in continual fellowship with God. Genesis 6:5 says this, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. Now, if you ever wonder if the Lord can see your thoughts, that verse ought to speak. Now, I want to tell you, this is what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible, do you? The Bible says that all of men, I mean, tell you, outside of Moses and not Moses, okay, outside of Noah and his family, that all the thinking of man was continually evil all the time. Wow. Now, here's what I want you to catch. Even though Noah had godly heritage and he had the message, thank God, I'm thankful he received rest, grace from the Lord, favor of the Lord. But I want to tell you, it was just him and his family against the whole world. You think you're lonely sometime? You think you feel like you're the only one? Well, thank God for a church family. Thank God that you got Christian television, 24/7, number of channels. Thank God that you got books. There's Christian books all over. Now, I want to say this. Noah had no Bible. Noah had no church. Noah didn't have music CDs. Noah didn't have Pastor James. He and his family were it. We're talking eight. They faced indescribable wickedness. And he was willing, and not just willing, because you hear Christians say that sometimes, well, I'm willing. Well, he wasn't just willing, he did it. Okay? He stood alone against the whole world. There was grace, there was favor, there was rest. He believed God, he received from God. I'm saying that over and over because that's for us. His life and his works were a result of the peace and the rest in his heart. The faith, the love, the fellowship in his heart with God, his works were a result of that. His life and his works were a result of the place his heart was with God. Now, okay, I confess this on a regular basis. You can look at me and tell probably, but I don't walk in this perfectly. But I want to announce something to you. I'm having a blast on the adventure of faith. How to enjoy his rest. And I've shared with you that my little grandson that has struggled over the last year fighting leukemia and coming out of winter, I want to tell you, he taught me a lot about rest because it was a fresh opportunity for me to learn it at a deeper level. It's why we're here today, okay? Because it had such impact on me. But when you have a grandson, and you may have to picture your son, and I know it would be hard for y'all to picture Pastor James and Gina, to picture Haley, or for Tim to picture your daughter, Trinity, or, you know, but I want to tell you, when you have one that's your blood, in your heart, that you love, that you would die for, that's got a disease, that the world was saying, this could kill him, and we understand facts, okay? But we have to go to a higher level, the difference between medical facts and a greater truth. A greater reality. And that's why that I'm saying now that Dr. Jesus needs to have the first word and the last word. Okay, there's a difference in that. Dr. So-and-so may have some facts, but Jesus is the greater truth. And so when there's nothing you can do, are you listening? When you are in a situation with someone you love and there's nothing you can do to make a difference, you cry out to God, you lean on the Lord, you trust in the Lord, and the temptation was to try to do something to make God do it. You understand that kind of temptation. That's not God's way. God's way is a better way. And his way is to come to the place of rest, of peace, the place of believing and receiving the grace and the favor for the situation, and trust in his finished works that it's already done. And we're going to cultivate that truth to see it come to pass. Now, I want to tell you that's been a journey, but I want to tell you we're going to see a lot from that journey. We want you to see it. Rest is the place of belief, the position of receiving from God. I've not received everything I'm believing for. I haven't received it. Okay? Now, I'm going to say some things now that would trouble the faith people. Okay? Sometimes the grace people have trouble with me because I say grace holds hands with faith. And a lot of the grace people say, oh, it's just grace, just grace. It's nothing but grace. No, it's by grace through faith. Okay? And the faith people want to say, it's just faith, brother. It's just faith, just faith. No, because I want to tell you, when you just go with faith, it can turn into works real easy. Okay? When you go just grace alone, okay, it can turn into no area of responsibility or no area of receiving. It's just grace. We just float along. No, there's more to it than that. They hold hands by grace through faith. So what I'm fixing to say now will aggravate some of the faith folk. All right, so keep them cards and letters coming. Amen. It's all right. But I have not received everything I'm believing for. But you know what? Don't be troubled by that. Okay? In the hall of faith in Hebrews, not everyone in the hall of faith received everything they believed for. Does that shock you and surprise you? Hey, it pleased God, though. Even if they didn't receive it, it pleased God. And he counts it unto them as righteousness, that they believed for it. that they trusted him for it. Now, here's where some cards and letters will come. I can't guarantee that I will receive everything I'm believing for. I can't guarantee it. I can't guarantee that you will receive everything that you're believing for. And I want to say it like this, and I hope that you'll understand this. I don't even know. I'm just telling you outright. I don't know. But Pastor, I think there's a number of reasons why we don't receive. And this is on our side. I hear people say sometimes, and pastors, we've talked about this, so I'm free to just kick it out here, because I want this to be honest and open. Okay, I'm not preaching a theory. We're preaching Word of God. But you know, sometimes we talk about, well, this was a precious saint, and they were just so precious. And we don't understand why they weren't healed, because they were praying and believing, and they're so sweet and so precious. I want to tell you something. We don't know a person's heart. One of the most foolish statements you can make is, oh, I know that person. They would never do that. Well, that's proved to be foolish in our generation. Because I want to tell you, anybody that wears this stuff is capable of anything. Okay. But see, we don't know people's hearts. And I want to tell you, Scripture says that we don't even know our own heart. Okay? And so, but I want to tell you, there may be a number of reasons why we don't receive. I haven't got all that figured out. I'm not trying to figure that out, because the emphasis in Scripture is for me not to study the why not. It's to study the Jesus that makes it so. All right? But hey, it goes like this. And I want to make this real simple, real clear. Lord Jesus, I trust this to come out right. If we don't receive, it's on our end. One of the things, I can't guarantee you that you will receive what you're believing for, but I can guarantee you this, it's not on God's side. Amen. It's not on God's side, because He shows us His heart in Scripture. He shows us His love through Jesus. He gives us promises in His Word. It's not on God's end, because I guarantee you the finished works of Jesus have provided for everything we need to receive. Now my part and your part is to be a learner and to practice and pursue His rest, the place of believing, trusting, and depending on the Lord. I want to minister hope to you. I want to help you come to the place that, you know what? I'm not going to coast on into heaven. Whatever time I've got left, I want to believe God for the more. I want to receive from God all that He paid for. You understand? Because this not only affects you, it affects people around you. It affects people you don't know. I want to help you jump off the diving board and let's trust and believe God for more. Thank God there's people sitting around the pool in the shallow end. Thank God people sitting on the side of the pool cheering for somebody else to do it. But I want to tell you, God has you in mind. In this journey to guard the finished works and enjoy His rest, it's important that we practice giving thanks. Before, during, and after is to be saturated with thanksgiving. My wife eats a salad, and she'll dip her fork in the salad and then put lettuce on the fork. I do not understand that. They don't do it. I want to tell you, my salad needs to be wet. Okay? But what I'm telling you is that your life needs to be wet with thanksgiving. Don't just dip your fork in thanksgiving. Okay? I want to tell you, He loves thanksgiving, and He loves praise, and it's a part of submitting to God. Okay? In order to give thanks, you got to submit. You got to yield. You got to humble yourself to thank someone else. And so it's a healthy exercise to saturate yourself in thanksgiving. And in this journey of grace by faith, enjoying the battle to be at rest. There's mountains that we need to renounce. Okay, I don't go looking for mountains, but mountains show up. And when they show up, we know what Jesus said to deal with them. We renounce them, we rebuke them, we tell them to get out of here, go swimming. Okay, there's lying fig trees that show up, and we're to deal with them. Expose and renounce and rebuke the lying fig tree, and you tell the lie to get out of here. We base our life on truth. And we practice receiving from God. It's a practice. Okay? It's not theories. This is Word of God. The Word of God is supreme and is right no matter what our experiences say. Okay? If you're listening on CD or podcast and you're waiting to hear a formula, the answer is no. If you're waiting to hear a list of works to do in order to get God to do something, the answer is no. If you're trying to make God do something for you to earn something, it's wrong channel, but don't change channels. Keep listening, because God's way is way better. Amen. That's a good way to say that. That would be on a t-shirt. God's way is way better. Jesus is the answer. I know that sounds like a little slogan, okay, but he really is. And so our part is to humble ourselves and recognize our need and seek him as the answer. That's important wording. Seek him as the answer. The ministry of Jesus is to be received and released to the needy. And there's needy here. We're needy. There's needy all around us. And so there's plenty of room. I don't have all the answers, but really and truly, it's true. He is the answer. And the answer is in us, because he's in us. And we are supremely loved, and he wants us to know the answer. So let's learn it together. I'm coming back to this important truth, that the heart condition, the condition of your heart, determines whether or not you experience rest. Belief or unbelief. Faith and rest has to do with your heart. Proverbs 13:12 says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life." Do you see that? Now, these next few statements are very, very important, so please listen in. If you've been praying a long time, and some of us have, we've been here at this location how long? Really? 5 years? 4 years. We're on our fourth. Okay, we received a word from the Lord. We received provision from the Lord, opportunity from the Lord. And I've been telling, and you've heard me say, God didn't bring us this far to let us go. He didn't teach us to swim, to let us drown. I didn't invent that. It's a good song. He didn't put this hope in us to move away. So God's not finished with us. But I want to tell you, these pastors and wives I honor, because they've been believing, and many of you have too, for 4 years for a harvest that we believe that God sent us here for. He didn't send us here to be a spot on Midway. He sent us here to have effect in community on North Texas and the mid-cities, the Metroplex or whatever. And so, but they've been very, very precious, very faithful. But I want to tell you here, this is important. Sometimes when we're praying for something a long time, some of y'all have been praying for your loved ones to be healed for a long time, or for a financial breakthrough for a long time. And when you pray a long time without results that you're desiring and believing God for, there's a way for discouragement to sneak in. And it comes in like a cloud. And it dampens the sun, S-O-N, light, in your life. And it kind of lowers our expectation without us realizing it. The other day, we were coming back from East Texas, and it was the coolest 4th of July I can remember. The humidity in East Texas by itself is not, but it was a cool day. It would rain off and on through the day, and even driving back from East Texas toward the concrete city here, I kept taking my sunglasses on and off. And I'd say, she heard me say a number of times, well, I don't need them now. I need them now. But you know, it would kind of sneak up on me that I had my sunglasses on, cloud cover, rain clouds, and all of a sudden it'd get darker and darker on me. Now, hey, look, that's the way discouragement sneaks in. Like a cloud. Okay? Hey, don't let past experience of loss or lack or miss or disappointment speak louder than faith. It cannot be louder than faith. I know it's a voice. I know it speaks. But we cannot allow disappointment or discouragement to be louder volume than faith. Sometimes because it's a current need or a current need. I mean something that we face on a daily basis or on a weekly regular basis. Maybe it's your checkbook and you have to look at it on a regular basis. But it becomes, or you're looking at someone who's sick and you're praying for them and believing for them to be well, and the sickness is there every day, then look, hey, it comes out like this, that it becomes a daily burden that you just can't escape because you're seeing it all around. Well, what I want you to do is to think about Noah. Mr. Rest himself found favor and found grace, and I want to tell you, he could not hide away from the horrible sin of the world. It faced him. It was around him. It confronted him. It was all about him. And I want to tell you, it looked like no hope. His only hope was in the fellowship with the Lord, being in rest, receiving grace and favor, and hearing what God said about salvation and responding to it. Wow. We must, with our heart, surrender to His Word, saturate ourselves in His presence and in His Word, and receive the believing mindset of rest. Don't focus on lack of results. That's easy to do. Because I want to tell you, the world's way is always about the numbers. It's always about the results that you can see with the physical eye. We can't go there. We're operating by faith and not by physical evidence. We're operating by the evidence of the Word of God, the invisible. Because if you focus on the lack of results, it makes the heart sick. You see that? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. It makes the heart sick with discouragement. It makes the heart sick with unbelief. It's a disease of unbelief. It makes the heart sick with doubt or with fear. It has different ways of showing up. But we must not, this needs to be on a wall somewhere, we must not be a disciple of disappointment. We must be a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus is our hope. Longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Do you see that? Big difference. I love to see dreams come true. I love to see prayers answered. Now, in Scripture, when it talks about the tree of life, I want to tell you, it constantly bears fruit and is able to nourish continually. Is that beautiful? I want to tell you, this is in Revelation. And remember, Revelation is the revelation of Jesus. In Revelation, so it's important to see Jesus. Be hard to go wrong that. With all the other things you don't understand, see Jesus in it. But through the middle of the Broadway of the city, also on either side of the river, was the tree of life with its 12 varieties of fruit. Now, Pastor, I'm not stretching this, but when you see fruit, think of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what Jesus is. I want to tell you, He's the tree of life for us. Think of the fruit of the Spirit. I want to tell you, that adds up. We can feast on Him. We're told to feast on Him. The fruit of the Spirit we're to be filled with, overflowing with. And look at this, continually, yielding each month its fresh crop. Continual harvest. Yeah, but Brother Tim, I've been praying for this loved one, little Isaiah, and it's been a year, and he's not completely recovered and restored, and there's effects, and do you understand? Yes. See, even in the middle of our situation, we're to feast on the tree of life, on Jesus. Enjoy the continual fruit of the Holy Spirit. And look at this. You say, well, I'm just wore out. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Listen at this. The leaves of the tree were for the healing and restoration of the nations. Now, I'm not going to break that down. I'm just going to say this. Jesus is our healing. Jesus loves to restore anything the enemy has stolen or the enemy has taken. He is the promise, the hope of our restoration. Do you like that? And so this is why this is so important for us to just capture, because we're talking about finished works. Believe. Come to the place of believing and resting in that belief. This is something that not any pastor or pastor wife here can do for you. This is something that in your journey, you've got to pursue and battle to come to the place of rest. But when you come to the place of rest, you receive great favor, great grace. Pick the fruit. Enjoy the harvest. Okay? Cultivate the harvest. Apply the harvest. See it. Cultivate it. Guard it. This enables us to receive nourishment. Anybody here need nourishment? This is how we persevere through hardships. Because he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy that's a continual harvest. That sounds like Jesus. And let's continue to practice rest and receiving until the invisible becomes visible. You say, well, what then, Brother Tim? There's always more to believe God for. There's always more that he's wanting to do and to walk us through. But it's important for us to walk in this. Hebrews 4:11 says this. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently. Are you seeing this? Strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for yourselves. It's important to shout for one another, to pray for one another, but this is something that God wants you to experience for yourself. That no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. Now, those in the wilderness, to just sum it up in a couple sentences, they believed wrong. They were deceived. They believed wrong and they lived wrong. When you believe right, you live right. Is that too simple? Pastor, that's got to hit the nail on the head. It has to go with what's between your ears, what's in your heart. And you see it by what happened to those in the wilderness, but it goes like this. Disobedience follows unbelief. And so if you ever wonder, why am I doing what I'm doing? It goes back to a heart matter. It goes back to what you're thinking. What are you believing? We're to labor to rest. Our battle's in the mind. It's in the heart. It's in the will. And what he's promised in the place of rest is land overflowing. Promised land. Hey, finished works. Garden. Ark. Finished works. Protection. Overflow. Now, when he described a land overflowing with milk and honey, it really was overflowing. I'm talking about grapes the size of plums. I'm telling you, it's hard to describe. When they carried a bunch of grapes, they had to put it on a pole between two men because it was so heavy. I picked up a bunch of grapes this week and held them between my thumb and my finger. I could not help but thinking about the bunch to be so big and the grapes to be so big and a bunch so heavy that I'd have to put it on a pole and me and someone else have to carry it out to the truck. I'm talking about a land flowing milk. There's more that God has for you than we can even imagine. how good it is. But we've got to come to the place of rest. And you know what the devil says? The same thing he's always been saying. Give up. Quit. It's not real. It's not for you. You don't deserve it. It's too hard. But like I said last week, don't be a part of the two tribes that camped out and didn't cross the Jordan into the promised land. I want to tell you, those people that are saved and waiting for heaven, they're going to heaven. And I want to tell you, it'll be a great and glorious day to go to heaven. But I want to tell you, while you're here, the Lord says, occupy till I come. While you're here, the Lord has much more for you than to just eat and drink and wait for heaven. Okay? There's so much that He has for us to walk in. It's promised land that He paid for on the cross. And so, you say, well, Brother Tim, I'm just not there yet. Okay, here's what you do. Seek Him. We humble ourselves before Him. That's very important in heart matters, is to humble yourself. See, people don't like to hear that word, humble. I'm wanting to teach next year a series on humility. And it keeps flashing across my mind. Nobody wants to hear that. But you know what? I'm going to preach it anyway. Because it's a powerful element in walking with God, is to walk clothed in humility before God and man. All right? And so what you do is that you humble yourself and you esteem Him. You remember the seesaw that I shared with you about a year ago? You know, you esteem Him highly. Everything else is on the low end of the seesaw. You esteem everything else higher than Him. Then everything else is up here and Jesus is what you've disesteemed Him. You understand? And so it's important for us to esteem Him. Esteem Him till you see Him. Because that's how rest comes. It's not by works. It's by seeing Him. It's by believing. Psalm 69:30 says this, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You say, well, I don't know how to magnify the Lord. There it is. Thankfulness magnifies Him. Praise positions your heart to see Him and to receive from Him. You say, I don't know where to start. This is where you start. Thanksgiving. We're going to look at Psalm 95 real quick. Thanksgiving, praise, magnify the Lord, focus on Jesus. That's how you can see to come to rest. Verse 1 of 95, Psalm 95 says this, O come, let us sing to the Lord. You say, well, Brother Tim, I do that every Sunday. No, this is not talking about waiting until Sunday. It is important to praise Him and celebrate Him publicly. Amen. It's very important. Hey, I'm here to tell you this. If you don't practice it privately, you're missing out. You see, this is to be a way of life. I'm telling you, when you're in the car, or when you're at home, or when you're doing your chores, or you're at work, whatever, hey, be praising the Lord. This is to be an attitude of gratitude that you celebrate as a lifestyle, that you practice celebrating the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. I want to tell you, Sunday mornings, as much as I celebrate you loving on the Lord, we not there. I tell you, our worship and our praise to God, right here, you see it, is not to be quiet. There's a time for quiet worship. There's a time for reverence, to meditating, Selah, meditate on this before the Lord, because even our thoughts are well-pleasing to Him and precious to Him. But I want to tell you, there's a time where we ought to, I'm talking about let it loose. I'm talking about celebrating the Lord with a loud voice. You say, well, that's just not me. Well, it need to be you. This didn't say, let us, not all of us, just those of us that have a loud voice. No. Just those of us that can sing well and on pitch. No. Okay, I've told folk I make a happy racket. That's close to a joyful noise, but it need to be that way. Amen. And I want to tell you, if you don't practice it as a way of life at home, you don't feel comfortable doing it in public. But I will promise you this, you practice it as a way of life, it's hard for you not to in public. Amen. Hey, this is love life with the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the rock. Tell me who the rock is. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. His name is Jesus. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. I cannot get away from this because it's so powerful. You say, well, I want something, you know, to work out where I can, you know, experience his rest. Give me something. No, you want something hard so, you know, you can earn it. You can. No. I'm here to tell you, thanksgiving. I'll never forget years ago. This is a few decades ago. I was preaching, and I was about to finish up a week's worth of meetings, and the Lord was doing some real sweet things, and the pastor's wife come to me, and she said, I got to confess. She said, you know, we've been in the ministry. They were an older couple, older pastor wife, pastor and wife, and she said, I've been in the ministry a long time, but she said, all these years, I have so suffered from depression. I said, oh, hon, I'm so sorry about that. She said, well, I really need a word from God how to get this off of me. Sometimes I pray over people, sometimes word or whatever. You know, the Lord just, because I was teaching on this in other places, I said, you know, you need to start a blessings journal. And you need to write down your blessings one by one. Count them out. And you need to rehearse them. Are you listening?
Yes.
You need to go back over them every morning, every night before you go to sleep. And just absolutely develop a thick blessings journal where you are so focusing on the goodness of God that thanksgiving comes out of your mouth continually. Because here, hey, thanksgiving positions your heart to see God.
Amen.
You want to see how to rest? See Him. You want to know revelation on how this and how that? When you see Jesus and you practice seeing Jesus, the Holy Spirit can show you the how or the what. When we've got ourselves in the mirror, it gets complicated in a hurry. But I want to tell you, when we see Jesus in the mirror and we focus on Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes it simple. But I'm here to tell you, she began a Thanksgiving journal. The next year, I came back to preach at their church again, another revival. And while I was there, she was a beaming. She was so full of joy, and she showed me her blessing journal of a year. Whew. Wow. You know what came out of her mouth? I mean, just, and I'll tell you something. You just listen to people a little bit. You can tell whether they love the Lord or not. Because what you hear come out of their mouth is what they love the most.
Amen.
And what comes out of their mouth is Jesus and thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, she had saturated herself to dwelling and meditating on the goodness of God. And I want to tell you, her testimony, not only to me, but before the body, and the body was very excited because they saw a transformation take place in her life, is that she was joyful and she was peaceful. Wow. One of the sweetest things I heard her say, it's been a long time since ministry's been fun, but it's fun again. Does that sound like rest? Does that sound like enjoying the finished works? That's how powerful Jesus is. This is for you. For the Lord is a great God. Think about His goodness. Hey, in the book of remembrance that Jesus keeps in heaven and an angel writes down, it says in the last part of Malachi that He writes down even the thoughts of what His people think about Him. There's a book of remembrance. Not only what they say to one another about Jesus, but what they think about Him and meditating on Him is so precious to Him. He has an angel recorded in a book of remembrance. That ought to say something. Well, that brings forth a lot of position of joy. And He's a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places. I want to tell you, He's always present. You know, most deep places are referred to as dark places. And I want to tell you, if you are in a dark place right now, no one here is judging you. We got compassion on you. I want to tell you, we've been there. You're looking at a man that's been there. But I want to tell you, even in the dark, deep place of your life, you're in His hand. He hasn't released you. He hasn't gone without you. He hasn't departed from you. He's with you. Understand, He's with you. He said, I promise I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not relax my hold on you. You're in His hand. Do you see that in verse 4? And the heights and the strength of the hills are His also. He's a very present help. The sea is His. If you're on the water, He's there. He made it. If you're in the desert, He's there. He's made it. Verse 6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. There it is. I'm telling you, honor him with your time and with yourself. You know how you say that you love people is you give them some time. I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to spending time with Perry today. I love him. Think I have to grit my teeth to do that? No, I worked it out. Hey, this is a good idea. I want to do this. But I want to tell you, you want to spend time with someone you love. Okay? It's part of my dream. I shared it this morning. Gina, you would like this, that I want to take each pastor and wife couple out on a date. Not beautiful blonde. Take them out on a date for restaurant week. Come on. You don't have to pray about that, do you, sister? Why I want to do that? Because I love them. I know we're all busy, families, responsibilities, different things, jobs, but I want to be with them. Where it's not business, I like to hear them laugh. Are you listening? If I told her I loved her, but I never wanted to spend time with her,
come on, tell the truth. Yeah.
I'd be a liar.
Yeah, come on.
And so I'm here sharing with you. Oh, come. Let us worship. Let us bow down. Let's spend time with him. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Reverent praise and supplication. He loves it all. He loves to be with us. Very present help. Okay, for he is our God and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Somebody say, I'm yours, Lord.
I'm yours, Lord.
And the sheep of his hand. The sheep of his hand. You know what this means? I'll give you a little picture. This morning, about 3 o'clock, little Alma comes in to the house bringing harvest for the family. Yeah. And she wanted to come love on me. Now, I'm enjoying the Lord, and you know what she does? She comes and put her head underneath my hand. And she's saying, this is a good time. And so I'm petting her a little bit, and I'm enjoying the Lord, and I stop. She put her head. And, yeah. Huh? Look, that's what I thought of right there. I'm here to tell you we're the sheep of his hand. You know what that means? He wants us to come. He wants to put his hand on us. He loves to love on you. He loved to comfort you. He loved to TLC with you. That's important to his heart. Let's be a sheep of his hand.
Amen. Amen.
Today, if you will hear his voice. You know, Jesus said this more than anything. If he said it once, it's important, but he said this more than anything. Today, if you hear, today, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Are you listening? Harden not your hearts. And they point to the example of the Jewish race and the nation in the desert. Okay, this is to be an example for us because there's a temptation for us when you hear his voice is to harden your heart. Now today if you will hear his voice, you know what that means? That means he's speaking. Are you listening? Because he is speaking. The question is, he is speaking. The question is, are you listening? Have you hardened your heart? Are you hard of hearing? Hard for you to hear God? You haven't heard God in a while? It's not on God. He's speaking. The problem is we got hardness of heart that causes hard of hearing. Well, I'd like to speak on that. Okay. Like the people in the desert, they were a quarreling bunch. They were questioning, deceived, is God with us or not? Did he bring us out here to kill us? I want to tell you, that's what discouragement says. That's not what faith says. If you're at rest, you're convinced of his love, thanksgiving toward him, you believe. Even if you don't see it with your eye yet, physical eye, you see it in the invisible. You know and you believe God. But I want to tell you, the voice of quarreling with God, the voice of doubt and unbelief sounds like this. Is God let go of me? God brought me here to kill me. No water. He just brought me out here and brought us this far to leave us. That's what that voice sounds like. Okay, I got to finish. Let's look at this. Verse 10. 40 years long was I grieved. This is the Lord speaking. Now, how long has he waited on us? You see, that's an important question. How long has he waited for us to enter his rest? He waited on them 40 years. His finished works have provided. Now you say, well, Brother Tim, this is Old Testament, and he was grieved. He's not grieved anymore. I want to tell you, the sacrifice of Jesus took away the anger of God towards sin. But I also want you to understand, and I'm going to say, not everybody's going to believe me on this or agree with me on this, but if you have the capacity to love, you also have the capacity to be grieved. I'm not talking about the anger of God. That was satisfied by Jesus. You say, well, Brother Tim, how do you know that? We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And so I'm here to tell you that he loves you. And how long has he been waiting? And he wants us to respond to him. And that starts with the heart. Look what he says in verse 10. It is a people who do err. Okay? Hey, you see err? Wrong direction, wrong choice. And where did it take place at? In their hearts. That's what we're preaching on today. They did not approve. They didn't practice thanksgiving and praise from the heart in belief. They didn't regard his ways. They didn't esteem them high. They didn't practice what he said. Okay? So I'm going to announce this. Outward problems start with heart problems. Now, I will do a disqualification, and it goes like this. For those who are following his purpose, for those who are walking with him, then I want to tell you, like Enoch and Noah, they habitually fellowshipped and walked with God. Hey, I'm going to announce this to you. You know what? Whatever the enemy brings against you, because we still get under enemy attack, then the Lord, hey, he works it out for our good and his glory, and you just carry on in thanksgiving. But for those that are not following according to his purpose, for those that are not walking with him, not walking in love life, walking in rest with him, okay, not in the place of believing, then I want to tell you, the heart, the problem in the heart is going to show up on the outside. Okay. And people say, why God? No. Heaven's saying, why you? We're to embrace his ways. Troubled hearts do not enter his rest. And so, if you think Brother Tim's stretching this about the promised land, verse 11 shows it. Wherefore I swore in my wrath that they would not enter my rest. You see it? And look at the exclamation that's brought out in the Amplified. The rest represents the land of his promise. Our rest is our promised land, our garden, our finished works of Christ. And I'm going to have you stand. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to just end with this, that Luke 21 says that men's heart fail them for fear in the last days. That's on us. That's on our generation. Yeah. A lot more problems with fear and anxiety, worry, stress. Okay? That's big in our generation. But the Bible says it would in the last days. And so what do? We receive rest on the inside. You practice the rest of God, it's strength to you on the inside. And this is priority. Look, if Reverend Noah was here, if Pastor Noah was here, he would say, hey guys, you're loved. Rest. Receive his grace. You already received his favor by Jesus. And so, you know what? He's going to raise you up above the waves. This is how he would say it. He's going to raise you above the waves of stress and anxiety and fear and discouragement. He's going to raise you above those waves. And in your salvation, who's our salvation? Jesus. Who's our ark? Jesus. And he would say, in our ark, in Jesus, The whole world is going down, but he's going to take away. He's going to take you away. He's going to protect you. He's your salvation. He makes a way when there seems no way. And so we're to bring our fears and our worries, our panic, our stress to him, and he'll give us TLC rest. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties. Did it say some of them? All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. In other words, you keep giving it, you keep casting it upon the Lord till it doesn't come back. Cast them on him, for he cares for you affectionately. Affectionately. And cares about you watchfully. He watches over you. I don't mean no harm by this. He watches over you like James watches over Haley. Watchfully. His eyes on you. Hey, he cares for you tenderly. Affectionately, he cares on you. Now, see, you missed out because of the time, but I was going to have an example of affectionately. I was going to have James and Gina do this. They've been practicing all week. No, they haven't. I'm trying to be funny, but I'm trying to help you. How long has it been since you've received that affectionate care from the Lord? Because he's ready and he's available. I'm praying for you right now. Why don't you bow your heads? Father, we just pray over these precious ones. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you're ever present, that you're ever available, that you're ever loving to super abundantly bless us with your love and your tender care more than we can even imagine. And so, Lord, I pray over these precious ones now in the name of Jesus, and we release upon them the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for our church to have a fresh baptism of your love. Lord, a baptism of your power. Lord, that we see you and we see your rest. I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come. Open up the eyes and the ears of our hearts to see you and to hear you and to say yes to rest. And so, Lord, by faith, by grace through faith, we cast all of our cares upon you. And we receive your tender, loving, affectionate care this morning. In the name of Jesus, now whatever we're facing, we declare Jesus is Lord and Jesus is our ark. And we just receive his divine protection and rescue and his tender, loving care. And I bless these precious ones today in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and witness to our hearts what Jesus is saying to us, to our families, to our church, in Jesus' name. And all the people said,